Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you right now, and I just want to thank you and praise you, Father God, just for everything that's already happened up to this point, Father.
Yes.
And I just pray right now that you would just fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I pray, Father God, that I would be able to decrease so that you would be able to increase, Father. I just want to thank you and praise you just for this wonderful opportunity, Father. Even though sometimes it's just like a heart-pulling, Father, I just know that it's such a privilege just to be able to be your mouthpiece at this time. So I pray that anything that does come from me, Father God, is exactly what you want said. So I just want to thank you and praise you again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, some of you are, you know that I, anyway, my name is Lori, and I do co-teaching on Monday nights with for the Women's Bible Study. So it's really, you guys, some of you that, I don't think a lot of you know that I was here, and you guys are kind of brave, because you guys always know that I always say, okay, I ask you to close in prayer or try to get involved, and you, the ones that don't go to Bible study, it's really funny, because I'll go like this, and they're all like this. Yeah. Like, I don't want to pray. So, okay. So the title of my workshop is Heartbreak to Happiness, and when I was asked to share this title, I thought about my heart. I was thinking, okay, how many times has my heart been broken? So, and it's really funny because it's more of an inner thing. So right away when I thought about my heart, I thought about my husband. And I have to be really honest with you, a lot of you that know my husband, in 35 years we're going to be married, I don't think maybe once that he has ever like even broke my heart. So it wasn't to the part where I've ever been heartbroken over my husband to the point where my foundation or anything was shaken by that. So it was really funny because he called yesterday morning, and of course he had to wake up the whole room. And so I took the phone in the bathroom, and so I said, "What do you want? What do you want?" He goes, "Oh, I just wanted to tell you that I just realized that today's Friday. I still have another day without you." I'm like, "Is this Phil?" You know, because the ones that know my husband are like, "Okay, this guy is really bad." So I said, he goes, "Well, the cats are kind of bugging me. You need to come home." So I thought that was kind of funny. But anyway. Okay, so I started searching my heart again and thinking in a little, in my journey that I've been. I remember there was like, okay, so I was thinking, okay, not over in 35 years had my heart been broken when my foundation. So I searched again, remembering my personal journey while walking with the Lord, and I found, I mean, there's been so many, but there's been like four major events. Okay, so at first I told you ladies, when they asked me to do this, oh, my heart has not been broken. But then when the Lord just really showed me, you know, and I mean he visually showed me, which you guys are going to see, not only was my heart broken, but it was like crushed, ran over, put in a blender, and then ran over again. So that's pretty bad. So again, this is what I want to do. I would like to share with you and bring you along with me collecting my memory stones, just like what Much Afraid did in the book. And it's really funny because we're asked to teach certain things, and we don't really know who's going to be teaching what or whatever. So, you know, I'm thinking, well, this is good. This is going to take up most of my time because I'm just going to tell them all about the book. You guys already know about the book, you know. So every time somebody says something, you're like, man, that was mine. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit more. But then the bad thing, too, is you guys won't buy the book. And then, so you guys can't cheat. It's just, you have to do it. Funny. Just like in the book, what she did, and it's cool because everybody's like has different parts, so you're not really getting all the book at once, you're just like getting a little bits and pieces. So the part that I'm going to be sharing is the parts where my heart was broken, and in the book, there's a part where every time she has a victory in Christ, or she knows that Christ has brought me through, there's a memory stone there. And then what she does is she picks up that little stone, and she puts it in her little pocket. Well, the little stones that she had, I'm not saying that they looked, well, I shouldn't touch all these stones. They looked like this. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you along my path, and I have four different events in my life up to this time that I really felt that the Lord has just really come through, and I have visuals. And again, the ones that come on Monday night with me, they know I do a lot of visuals. The other day I did the vine grafting, and I brought lemons and, you know, everything. And they're like, ooh. So, and it's not for you guys, it's for me, because when people bring things and I visually can see them, I can really relate better to it. I have to warn you, one of these is really kind of scary, okay? So, but you'll know why. Okay, the first thing is, the number one thing that first happened to me was my son Anthony. Some of you that know me here, they kind of know about my son. My son, graduated from high school at 17 years old. And most people, when they graduate from high school, they either go away to college or, you know, something like that, or they move out of the department. Well, my son, when he graduated from high school at 17, 2 weeks later, he was shipped to Las Vegas. He wasn't really shipped. He used to be a knight at the Excalibur. When he turned 17, they offered him, like, this big, glamorous, he was the white knight. I mean, he's already been given a prize. They asked him to come to Las Vegas. So not only was our son not just leaving our house, he was going to Sin City. And not only was he just going to go to Sin City, he was going to become the star of the show, live in a million-dollar house. And we were just really worried about this. We're like, you know. The funny part of that was my son, growing up, and I have a daughter too, which I'm going to share too, but he was the one, I don't know, you know, the ones that have children. I mean, you have one that wants to be with you all the time, and then you have another one that's like, Mom, I don't want to be by you. Don't hold my hand. Don't look at me. You know, he was the one that wanted to do everything. He wanted to go to the movies with me. You know, he was like my best friend. At that time, me and Phil, our relationship, you know, was still there. You know, we never really had problems, but he really was my best friend, my son. You know, he was more like me than his dad, you know, so we got along really, really well. So when he was come home and he said, Mom, they're moving me, you know, they're asking me to take this big job in Las Vegas, I'm leaving. I'm telling you, ladies, I was crushed. I was like, no way, no how. It's like, you didn't even, what are you talking about? I remember I was traumatized when he got his first girlfriend, and now he's leaving. And so it was really hard, and I can still remember the day that he left. I'm not going to get this, but just a second. The day that he left, Phil, he had a pack of all his little things, because he's a collector. He always collects baseball cards, action figures, all that. So he has this little trailer, and then he has his car, and, you know, Phil was going to ride with him, and because the guy said, just come with him, and then he was going to stay and make sure he got into his place, because he was living, actually, with the owner of the Excalibur. So he, you know, made sure he got it, and then the owner told my husband, stay with him over the weekend, you know, make sure you feel okay with him, and everything. So Phil was going, too. So I'll never forget the day. I mean, it was like yesterday. He was out in the driveway, and I remember he just, you know, he's saying goodbye. And this is tears of joy now. But and then, like, when he hugged me, it was like my best friend was leaving me. But then what happened was he got in, you know, he threw the whole goodbye. They take off. I mean, I'm literally going to the bedroom. I go in my bathroom, and I am sick. I am physically vomiting because, I don't know, I mean, I'm sure some of you, I mean, you have a son that went in the service. I mean, people, you know, that have Rosemary, I don't even know if she's in here. You know, I was able to share this with her, you know, when her daughter Pearl just went, you know, and she's going, Lori, I go, I know. I physically was sick. I was literally vomiting because I was just like, this thing, you know, part of me is ripped out. All of a sudden I hear, hey, Mom, hey, Mom. And I, he's coming back. He's back. He's changed his mind. He goes, oh, yeah, I forgot to get my stereo. I'm going in the room to get it. And it's like, oh. You know, so then, you know, I had to go through the whole thing, you know, because actually when he did pull away, it was almost like a, like that, and then throw it. So then it was so funny because that was really, really hard. Where the Lord comes into this, you have to understand, when my son went, he was, again, only 17 years old. We did send him. He was raised with the Lord. Is his walk our walk? No, it wasn't. It wasn't even then. I knew that me and my husband had instilled in him the best that we could do. Just weird stuff how the enemy would get in. You know, because he worked nights, so when they would come home, they would go swimming and stuff. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what if he comes home? What if he's home by himself? What if he's swimming and he hits his head? Who's going to find him? He's going to be dead. I'm telling you, these are the crazy things that go through your head. And I can't tell you the peace that the Lord gave me because, you know, the scripture that he gave me at that time was that I have the boldness, I have the right to come to him and ask him with confidence the things that I needed. And I even remember, and I shared this before too, that with my Bible, this was like, you guys, like maybe a 2-day period. I was like in mourning. I couldn't even pray. So I literally just like got the word and said, okay, Lord, this is it. I don't even have the strength to pray. No, you're going to have to do something. You promised me these things. You have to watch. I can't be in all places at all times, but you can. Well, that is one of my little events. And the funny part of it is, this is why I'm going to show you my little memory stone, because it got better. You know, it's still not really good, but it got better. I mean, it's been a long time now. He's been gone almost 14 years. You know, he got married. He hasn't been back home. He went through the whole entertainment thing. And since then, him and my daughter-in-law are now married, and they're semi-retired in the Black Hills of South Dakota in a town called Nemo that has 46 people. So, I mean, so it's really cool. I mean, but it was a long time. And just to, you know, and it's still just a part of me. It's still gone. I don't get to see him. I've never been with him at Christmas. because of just the work he does. And even in Las Vegas, you always say you're going to go, but when you work full time or you do ministry and stuff, it's not real easy just to get in the car and go. And so this is what's really funny. The third day, I was starting to feel like, okay, alive again. So I told you from the beginning that he was a collector. He collected everything for years. He would work just to collect things. Well, he even has these little action figures that he wouldn't even take out of the box, right? They have to be in perfect condition. So I remember walking outside, and when I was walking outside, I went like this. Okay, don't get scared. This is what he had. And he had him hanging on my plant. And you know what? This ugly little thing. They were like rebuking me in my room, saying, "Lock that thing away." I had him in a box over here, and they're like, "He's kidding out." But anyway, this little guy. This is the first time we took a road trip too. He has been hanging in the same place that my son had left that many years ago. To this day, he was still hanging there. And this is my little memory stone, because every time I go outside, I have to do the laundry, or even when my grandkids are there, or I just feel sad. It's like the Lord, I know, isn't he ugly? Like, he moves. But when I see him, it gives me a peace in my heart. It's like, you know what? Thank you, Jesus. You did hear my heart's cry. That was a really bad time for me. You did get him through. You didn't let him drown in the pool. You didn't let him get drunk. I don't know if he got drunk, but I mean, you didn't die of alcohol poisoning. But things like that. And they were really funny because they were making fun of me. And they said, he's really ugly. He's demonic. And you know what? That just kind of shows us how all of us can have different memory stones or things. Because, you know, he's really ugly to you guys. But you know what? This is so precious. Because this was his prized little thing. This guy was worth, like, I don't know, $200 or something. And for him to even take him out of the box and hang him up there for me. So when I was on vacation this year, my son-in-law came and he put a brand new patio. Well, the first thing when I came home, I said, oh my gosh, where is he? Where is he? Because he hadn't been moved. And it's so funny. So he can't hang up there anymore. So now he's on the fence. So now I kind of put him like between the fence like this. I have a picket fence in my backyard. So then every time I walk by, and you guys, I'm serious. When I look at him, he reminds me of my son. It just reminds me of the promises that God gave me, that he would be in office and he would help me. So this is number one stone. I'll put him back. He is. I like him. I told Wendy I was going to put her in front of him in her bed. So Anthony now, 16 years later, is married, and I shared that with you. And you know what? It still seems like yesterday. I can still remember him just like driving away with that little, you know, that little U-Haul thing. So that was my Okay, the second one is my second heartbreaking event. I don't want to just say my second, but these are the ones that the Lord just really brought to me. Was the sudden death of my father. Mm-hmm. My father, I shared this a while back because I was teaching out of the book of, help me here, you guys. My mind is totally John, thank you. Like, my father wasn't saved. My father was a very intelligent man. He could read, write, and speak 7 languages. He was from the old country. So I was from a divorced family, so I only got to visit with him ever since I was a little girl. He would come and get me every other week, you know, and he was really my father. He was my dad. I mean, I loved him so much. And one day I was at church at Downey, I remember, and the whole message was just about death and things like that. And I'll never forget is that day when I came home from church, I had gotten a phone call from my sister. And I had just visited, even when I was married with my kids, everything else, I would still go visit my dad in San Pedro. I'd go every other week and visit him. And during this time, let me back up a little bit, I used to witness to him all the time. Because, you know, I used to try to preach Jesus to him, and he used to say, oh, I know. Sometimes you can meet people that are just so smart that it's not logical that there is a Jesus. It just does not make sense, right? And then, plus, from being from the old country, I would tell him, come on, Daddy, let's pray on the phone. Oh, you can't pray on the phone. The operator's listening. You know, he would say things like that because, you know, that's private. You're not supposed to do things like that. And he would tell me and my husband, you know, why are you guys in the convalescent ministry? Why are you doing that? Why do you want to be around a bunch of old people that are going to die, you know? I really believe in his heart, he thought it was just a phase that we were going through. But, you know, I never gave up on him. I loved him so much. I can't even imagine, I'm telling you, I couldn't even imagine not even seeing him. I was like a little, you know, as a little girl, I was waiting for him to come every 2 weeks. So I would witness to him, and I would witness to him. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to write a letter to him. So I did. I wrote, because he didn't want to really talk about it. Like, I don't know if it was a cultural thing, or whatever, but you just don't talk about things like that. You know, that's private. So I remember just writing him a letter, and what it was from was, in John chapter 3, and it was a whole story about Nicodemus, because he kind of related to my father, because remember how he was really wise, and he just said, well, you know, even though he had all this knowledge, he didn't really know about being born again. So I just remember writing to my dad and saying, you know, Daddy, all you have to do is call, you know, you have to be born again, and just gave him the scriptures, you know, and I sent in a letter and I mailed it to him. Well, even though I saw him 2 weeks later, he never really mentioned that letter. He never really said if he was saved, if it was, you know, I just really didn't know. So back to that day. I'll never forget this another time. I'm sure you guys have these new lectures. When, have you ever read how the people used to wail, like totally wail and like rip their clothes? I just remember getting a phone call, and it was my sister. And she's same father, different mother. And she was always raised with my dad. She, you know, because my mom and dad split, I went with my mother, and then she was born from the second marriage, from a different one. So when she called me, she was like bawling. I go in, and she goes, Daddy's dead. And I was like, what? And what happened was he woke up that morning, he had a stomach ache, they took him to Kaiser, barely got him into surgery, aneurysm of the stomach, died on the table. Just totally bled out. I'm telling you, the neighbors had told my husband that they heard me wailing like three doors down. I'll never forget that. I can still remember how I was just hunched up in the middle of my hallway, I mean, pulling my clothes, crying. I mean, you know, just, I was like, you know, I remember Phil calling, I believe we were still in La Verona at that time. I don't even, have you ever just really don't know that there's people there, but you don't really know, you're like, you're there and you're not there. I just remember them coming over, praying for me, you know, just kind of like calming me down, you know, and everything. So the very next day, which is really good, and I see this as the grace of God, my sister called, and even though my dad was Catholic, you know, we came from a big, I did too, a big Catholic background, she said, you know what, even though, you know, my mom is here, because my stepmother was very nice to me, we're making all funeral arrangements, would you like to come and just go with us? And I said, okay, I'll come and go with you. So that was answer prayer. So when we went to his house that day, the very first thing, when I walked into my dad's house, because I was there all the time, is there, you know, and the biggest reason I had to go back to, I was crying because I really wasn't sure. I was like, Lord, was he saved? How am I going to know? How, you know, whatever. And that was my biggest thing. Like, I didn't get a chance. And then you know how you weigh, okay, is it better when someone passes that you have time to talk to them? Or is it better that you don't know? You know, did I do my, you know, all this stuff comes. So I remember walking into his house. I remember looking at his sitting chair. And he had a table. It was one of those table lamps. And there was something sitting there. And I said to my sister, I said, what is that? Because they spoke the language. They spoke Yugoslavian in the house. I wasn't taught it. They were. And she was. And she goes, that's Daddy's prayer book. And I said, what? And she goes, that's Daddy's prayer book. So it was, I'm telling you, this was the very next day. I went over there and I opened it up. And this was what was there. It was my dad's prayer book. And he had marked, okay, it's even more precious because his signature is like right here. It was signed. And right now I've had it for years, but it was marked where the sinner's prayer was. Now I couldn't read it because it's in Yugoslavian. I didn't know what it said, so I had to ask my sister, what does this say? And then, of course, she's not saved, you know, at that time. And she was telling me, you know, it's just, and so this is what it was. So that was the insurance that the Lord had given me that fast. He had answered my prayer. And you know what? Did it make it easier that my dad died? No, I miss him. I miss him to this day. But you know what? It was just so awesome that this was another remembrance stone. And out of my dad's whole inheritance, that's a whole other story. When they asked me what I wanted, instead of, you know, what I wanted, I said, can I just have this? Can I just have this? And this is the only thing. And like I said, my dad had, you know, stuff. But this, and that's okay. Because stuff is stuff. This is probably more precious to me. Well, I know. I'm going to be honest, you know, than his house. I mean, it's good, you know what I mean, you guys. But seriously, this is what the Lord wanted me to have. What my flesh wanted was his house. But anyway. $100,000 for a book. Okay, so this was just another, you know, event that was in my life that really broke my heart. And again, you know what? I do miss him and everything, but you know what? I have the insurance. I believe. And again, it showed me how much God loved me, that he didn't let me wait. You know, and I'm not, everybody's different. You know, I don't want to sit here boasting, but you know what? He didn't make me wait 20 years to see if my dad was safe. He didn't make me wonder until I'm 75 or getting ready to go home, is he safe? I really, truly know what I know, that through this, the Lord gave me this out of everything. What are the chances that it was just sitting with him? Sandy, did you see him? Did you get to hear the part about him?
I got it, not the end.
Oh, because she was my roommate next to me. She's like, get this thing away.
I'm sleeping next to that too.
So this was my second remembered stone that I wanted to share with you. The Lord loved me so much that I didn't have to wait. I know that my father was saved, and someday again I will be with him for eternity. Until now, I wanted to say thank you, Jesus, for this stone. So that was the stone that he left. Okay, my next, I only have four, so number three. Okay, this heartbreak was just this year. The ones that know me, this is about my firstborn. I have four beautiful grandchildren. Not that I love one more than the other, but the first one has been really, really special to me. It's for a lot of reasons. And her name's Kaylin. And I mean, she kind of took the place of my son. She's kind of like my best friend too now. So we just get along really well. She's just a sweetheart. And people that know her, she has the Lord in her. And what happened was, she was playing softball just last year. And some of you know this story. And she came to my house because she always spends the night on Thursday or night. And she was like limping. And she was rubbing her leg. And I said, honey, what's wrong? And she goes, oh, my mom said it's growing pains. Well, you know what? I don't know growing pains where you're like this. Growing pains is okay, whatever. But she could not walk. And so I finally called my daughter and I said, you know, what's going on? I said, well, why do you tell her it's growing pains? She goes, well, I think that's what it is. I said, okay, are you a medical doctor? You know, and she said, no. I said, well, then she needs to be taken in. She goes, mom, it's just growing pains. I said, whatever. Well, the next day when she got to go to school, she could not walk at all. And then I finally just said, as you know, the mom, I put my foot down and said, you need to take this girl to the doctor. If you don't take her, I'm taking her. She goes, okay, mom, we'll take her. Well, they did take her. And the ones that have gone with this little journey with me, when they came back from the doctor, they said that they had found a tumor. They weren't sure, but it's the size of a golf ball on her leg. Okay. So right away, okay, of course, you know, and it's so funny because someone told me today, you're the strongest rock I've ever seen. No. Because this one really threw me. It really threw me because I'm thinking, okay, here we go. Here comes the enemy again. Okay, let me back up with her a little bit. Ever since she was very little, she's been very anointed by the Lord. This girl, one time, I remember, this is another thing I remember. We're driving down Biola, right in front of Biola College. She's in the car seat behind me. She goes, and Phil's driving, and she says, oh, Nana, Jesus heals. We're like, oh, okay. No, Nana, Jesus heals. We're like, oh, okay. You know, like, man, felt like, what's she saying? Well, that very night, my second granddaughter that was born at that time was taken to Children's Hospital. She was sick, and they still, to this day, didn't know what was wrong with her, but she was healed by that one. But it was funny how she almost knew, you know, that something was going to be wrong. Even when one time we were at a church, and she broke free from me, and she ran to this lady and wrapped her arms around this lady, and that was really weird. But the lady at that time at the church that we were going to, she was like one of those prayer warriors that just sit in and pray for everything, and she said something to me. She goes, this little girl is really anointed. The spirit on this little girl is just unbelievable. When she was in preschool, she was saving people. All her little friends were saved. Before she got into kindergarten, we lived by Garden Hill School, she would drive by and say, Nana, they're all going to know Jesus. They're all going to know Jesus. So, of course, here I am thinking, okay, God's taken. He's taken. He's got to be taken. And that was even said in one of the teachings. You know how, or Lisa said that, you know, how the Lord takes the ones when he's ready. And I really thought that. I said, oh, he's going to take her. He's going to take her. So that one, even the ones that my friends that really know me, I mean, I was thrown. I mean, we had like a little dinner, and I was crying. I just couldn't do it. So this is what was on my refrigerator. This is something that she had made. And the people that have been to my house, if you know, my house is like a house where there's a lot of stuff, but everything is in its place. Nothing is out of place. I can tell you if someone's been at my house, if the rug is moved. She says I'm compulsive, whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called. I don't even let them use the towels because I can see the little fingerprints. But anyway. And so for me to even let her put this on my refrigerator, it was a big deal. You know, and I did. I know at that time why. So I remember this little picture was on my refrigerator, okay? During this time, every time I would walk by the refrigerator, I would lose it. Because I'm thinking, okay, he's going to take her. And you know, we're not supposed to be superstitious or anything like that. But it's so funny because I would not move this picture. Even though when I wanted to clean the refrigerator, I didn't even want to move it because I'm thinking, I know you guys are going to rebuke me on this one, but I was thinking, if I move that picture, something's going to happen. She's got it. She's got the big C word. You know, that's kind of weird. I mean, you know, knowing what your faith is and stuff, but still, you know, sometimes you're, it just wasn't strong. And that's okay. That's okay. That's why I'm sharing this with you. So anyway, we have Kaiser, so it takes forever if anybody has Kaiser, how to get an appointment. So by the time they had to get her back into, do a full MRI, whatever, and then get the results back, it was almost like a month's total. Girl's on crutches. She's walking around church on crutches. Can't do baseball. Can't do anything. Can't go to school. So she's on the crutches, on the crutches. Well, of course, I already have this vacation scheduled to go to South Dakota to see our son, and that's when they schedule her to have her test go, you know, results. So I'm thinking, do I cancel? Do I not cancel? What do I do? What do I do? So we went ahead and went on a vacation, and my daughter said, Mom, what are you going to do? What are you going to do here or there? Whatever the results are, it's going to be the results. Well, in the meantime, my granddaughter is telling me, you know, Nana, it's okay. It's okay if there's something wrong with me. We went to dinner, and I said, Kayla, you know, what do you think about this? Because it's okay. It puts a perspective on things. Okay, this is a 10-year-old, right? She goes, instead of me worrying about my room's not big enough, you know, I'm learning that there's other things that are bigger in life. And if I do have something wrong with me, I'll be okay. And, you know, and here I'm crying in my soup. I'm literally crying in my soup. And she's like, it's okay, Nana, it's okay. Well, the funny thing was, when we were there, of course, you know, we waited for that day. And then this is why this is my third thing, because when they went that day, they had three specialists waiting for her because they were going to tell my daughter what they were going to do. You know how they read it. They had a cancer specialist and everything else. That well, not only when they went to read it, there was nothing there. Mm-hmm. It was nothing. So it wasn't even just like a tumor that they said that, you know, that I thought that it was going to be, you know, cancer. There was absolutely nothing there. He completely, completely healed her. And that was just a testimony and stuff. And even God's timing on that, because we were with our son, you know, and of course he was concerned, and then when we got the news, we were all cheering, you know, and saying, you know, praise the Lord and everything. So this is my third one. And you know what's really weird is it's still in, exactly in the place. Well, this he took a ride today, too, with this guy. You're in the same box. But when I go home, this is going to go back exactly on my refrigerator, even though, and you know what, I don't know how long I'm going to have it there. But when I walk by it now, instead of crying and just falling apart, And it's okay to cry and fall apart and everything, but again, it just reminds me, again, of the goodness that God, you know, the mercy that he had, not only on myself, but on my granddaughter, and everybody that we were able to witness to. So this is my third one. Hey, Sandy, I know you want to give him a kissy, huh? Richard. Okay, the fourth event I like to share started in 1997 with my daughter, and it's really funny because I think one of my daughter's friends is here. Is she here? Yeah, hi, honey. And so I'm not going to get into detail about my daughter because I don't think, you know, I don't think that's I have to. But it's really funny because this whole weekend, you know, the Lord gives you things that he wants you to do, you know, especially when you pray and you say, you know, especially with this, I said, oh, I don't know what I do, what am I going to do, I don't know. And he gives you visuals or he tells you what to do. And it was funny because it was about the journal. It's about journaling. And I really didn't know. You know, the only thing I said to Wendy, I said, you know, Wendy, if we're going to do anything with the journals, I said, if you'd like, I said, I can incorporate it if you can give me something different because I want to take like a little side note on this one. And I didn't even know about Gail Wackerman coming or sharing any of that stuff too. So that's just like totally how the Lord is. So it's just a confirmation because we were saying that last night in our room how, you know, again, we're like, man, that's what the Lord, not that it's ours, you know, it's everybody's, but it's just confirmation that sometimes we have to be told something, not once, not twice, but three times. So it was just, you know, and again, it was just, showed me too how much the Lord loved me because, you know, sometimes even though you really believe that the Lord has given you something to share, you know, with people or just to take them down a path or whatever with you, the enemy can get in there, or yourself can get in there, and you're just like, okay, is this for me or is this from him? So it's really good. It's like a confirmation. So, and this one started in 1997 with my daughter, Jackie, or should I say, Jackie. Now, I already had two children. And my son, again, not that I loved him more, but he was the one that never gave us problems. Remember, he was my best friend. He liked mommy. He wanted to do everything with mom. You know, my daughter was the one, you know, that just, I could not please her. We could not do whatever. We could do jumps, and she would tell me, that's not high enough, you know, or whatever. She was just one of those. So what I like to do is, it was really funny because, again, my Phil, I said, Phil, I need you to get up. I need you to get out of bed right now. It's like 4:30 in the morning. And he goes, what? I said, yeah, I need this journal. I need this journal. And he goes, what? I go, and I told him exactly where it was. I go, it's in this, you know, in the garage, third door down. He comes back, there's nothing in the third door down. I said, no, it's a sunflower journal. Well, he didn't see the third door. He only saw. So, of course, I don't know if he's like your husband. I had to get up, get completely dressed. I mean, not that shit of myself. And then, of course, the minute I went out there, third drawer down, sunflower journal, here it is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually read to you, 1997. This is what I wrote in October. This is 7/25/97. Well, Lord, it's really been a while, so obviously it's probably been a week. Okay. Looking back and reading my old entry really shows me the faithfulness and love toward me. We are now attending Calvary Fullerton. Thank you for giving us such... Okay, you don't want to hear that part. Okay, here we go. I am so tired, Lord, of the fight against the evil one toward my children. My heart is heavy once again concerning Jackie. Please help me, Lord. I don't know if maybe I am really driving her crazy. And I always said something on this weekend, too. So, you know, I was to the point, it's like, is it me? Am I the one driving my daughter crazy? Because I think you get to the point, too. You know, maybe it's something I'm provoking her, you know, for her actions or whatever. So then I put, I just love her so much that it's so frustrating that she doesn't want a part of me nor you, Lord. Please help me sort this out and give me the wisdom I need, Lord. Only you know what can be done and how the battle belongs to you. Please, please help me. I cannot do this without you. Please continue to fight for Jackie's spiritual walk. Do not give up, Lord. Please intercede. So that was on 7/25. So then on October 20th, okay, let me, I think I'm just going to see. Okay, let me read this entry too. And now this is October 20th, 1997. Says, well, hello, Lord. It's been so long since my last entry, so again, about another week. You have been very good and faithful to us. Why do we ever doubt you? Okay, Anthony, my son, turned 21 this month. Lord, the years went by so fast. Please continue to protect him and guide his path back to you. May he see your love in his life and desire more of you. So this is just was really cool, too, because it just, again, confirmed all his prayers and everything that I put into my son. He went at 17. Here he's 21, and he's still alive. He's still okay. He's still, you know. And breathing. There it goes. Jackie's in the 11th grade now, back at La Mirada High. Please guide her life, Lord. She seems so lost at times, wanting to be one way, but yet acting another. I love her so much that it's very frustrating when she doesn't want the best thing for herself, which is you. Only you will be able to fill that void that Jackie has. But I know, Lord, it is in your timing. But this is just a part, and these were actually the words that I had wrote. And this is like the little side note that I wanted to, because I knew that we were getting journals. These are just really, really important. And now, I wasn't over there, but I'm sure that's exactly, knowing the way the Lord was, that's probably the same thing that Gail Wackerman told you. These are just so precious. These are so precious to me. When I was able, did I stop here that day? Because, it's awesome that God told me which one, which drawer, everything, okay, what I needed for this. But again, I was just going over there and saying, wow. Wow, Lord, yes, yes, yes. You know, there's people in here that I prayed for their marriages, and it's just, there's different where I started a new job. And these are just really, really important. And this is just like a little side note. You know, ladies, just do this. If it's not just, you know, for yourself, for your children, you know, when you do pass, you know, this one was a very important one for my dad. But you know how much more special maybe it would have been if I could have had something that he would have said, oh, you know, my daughter witnessed to me, and now I accept the Lord, you know, whatever. So, you know, if anything, it's for you, so you could have a revival in your heart, and it can show you what God has done for you. So you can go back and say, thank you, Jesus. So, let me see. I always believe that Jackie was a gift from God, and I did love her so much. It was like riding a horse. Okay, you know, with your kids, you just get on. It's like a horse. You know how a horse would throw you. Well, you know what? I wouldn't stay down. I would get back up. I'd get back. It was a fight. The more I'd get on that girl, man, I would be bumped back and forth. It was bad. I'm telling you, it was really bad. So I even wrote, I would try with her and get thrown. Try again, get thrown up and down. So then after many years of prayer and heartaches for both me and Jackie, she had finally found peace. So this year, on December 19th, I have wrote this, I received yet another remembrance stone from the faithful Lord and Savior that I have. And this is what I want to read to you. This is my daughter. Okay. The subject is good morning. And I share this with my little friends. Okay. Let me make sure. It says, how are you, Mamacita? Okay. How are you, Mamacita? You can tell that we don't speak Spanish, but anyway. I'm good. I feel really great. I have lots of energy. My daughter is 26 years old, and she has four children, and she's happily married. So you can just tell. I'm surprised she has a lot of energy. I mean, because she has a 10-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 14-month-old, and a 4-month-old. So she has her hands full. So this was good that she even had a lot of energy. She said, I have to say, I'm really happy I went back to work. Now I feel like I have a purpose. Sounds weird. And so, you know, and I can understand what she's saying. And then she said, this is the part. Christmas is right around the corner. Okay, this is dated, this is last year, 2009. And the entry that I read to you guys was 1997. Okay. Christmas is right around the corner. I'm excited. The girls are going to love it. I have been thinking a lot about my family, my life, and God. God blesses us every day, and I know it's Him. He is the reason I stay sober. To be the best wife and mother that I can be. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for making me go to church, for that seed to be planted. You two, now this is not about me, this is totally about the Lord, you guys. You two truly are the best parents ever, and I'm sorry for all the years of trouble and pain I have caused. I'm glad that we are best friends. Yeah. Try to relax, enjoy your kitties. I love you. And let me know if there's anything I can do for you. And I've got a bunch of X's and a bunch of O's. So you know what, ladies? Don't give up. You know, you've got to get on that horse, and that horse bumps you off. So this is just another memory stone that I wanted to share with you. And again, I know that there's going to be more, you know, heartaches in my life, but I know that the Lord is faithful, and there's going to be a lot of memory stones. So what I want to do right now is, Shelly and, can I help her? Mm-hmm. They're going to pass out two handouts. There's going to be two hands. The first one is a handout that I was given. I'm sorry, guys. Okay, Betty, go ahead, That's what you guys, that's a whole other story. And then you walk around with lipstick all over my teeth all weekend. Okay, one of them is, this is a really powerful tool. This was given to me the first year of my walk with Jesus, and I have used it so many times. And there it is, and anybody else that's ever been in my workshops before have known, this is, you know, this is just really, and I want all of you to have one of these. On one side of the paper, is it says, since I am in Christ by the grace of God, I has all your scriptures. Let me read a few to you, just a few. Romans 5:1. Since I am in Christ by the grace of God, I have been justified, completely forgiven, and made righteous. Since I am in Christ by the grace of God, I died with Christ and died to the power of sin that rules over my life. And it goes on and on and on. And it goes down. It just has all these really good scriptures. These ladies are the scriptures that I use. I still remember the lady that gave me this. She's an awesome prayer warrior to this day. And she gave me this, and my original one is cried over. I mean, it's just really, I mean, I don't know how many more times I can photocopy it. But, and then on the other side, it is, who am I? So here you have, you know, since I am in Christ, and then on this side it says, who am I? So one of them, Matthew 5:13, who am I? I am the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:14, I am the light of the world. And it just continually goes down, and it just gives you really scriptures. When you know your position in Christ, and I've always said this, and people that do know me, when you know who you are and who Christ is, you know what, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but if you could stand on His word and stand on His promises, you can say, I know what I know. You know, I don't know what the timing is. His timing is different, but you will know that the Lord will be there, and He'll be there to answer your prayer. So I just would really like to give you one of these. And then the second handout is really funny. This was another thing, too. It's just a song that I have been singing and singing and singing for weeks, and I said, Lord, why do you have this on my heart? Why do you have this song? And I was singing, singing, singing. And then when I was praying and stuff, He just really wanted me to, and I believe this, in almost closing, it was this song. And what I really liked about this song, and this, we just sang it. Actually, we just sang it in the last set. It reads, so the second handout will be the praise song, and it's actually the desert song. And the part that I really love is when it says right here that we are conquerors, that we are co-heirs in Christ. And that's one of the scriptures that I want. And I did have more scriptures, ladies, but they're the ones that are on here. And so if you just want to go ahead, you know, and take this back with you and keep it, is Romans 8:17. And let me get to that. says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. And again, that this scripture was shared somewhere over the weekend too. You know, like that's why we share in his glory when we go through these sufferings. And yes, you know what, I did have heartaches. I'm still going to have heartaches. And if you come from Boston, we being so always teased when we sing worship songs, we say, oh, hot. So Jared, hi, you know, like, that's if you guys see us always laughing because you're seeing me like that. But anyway, it's true. It's the inner. It's not the outer. The last workshop I went to was really good. It was about a physical healing, about an outer. So, you know, we have the inner, we have the outer, and it was just all different in different ways. But, you know, it, like, just hang on there, you know, and in every season. And this is what I like about the song, in every season. So in every season that we're in, if we're, you know, abounding, if we're abasing, if we're crying, or if we're happy, if we're dancing, if we're you know, throwing ourselves on the floor because we can't get up, we need to remember that God is God. He's never changing. In every season, we need to praise him. So Shelly's going to go ahead and play this. I would like for us to sing together. Okay? Just really, you know, that's why I gave you the words. You can, you know, just take them home too. I know this was important to me. I don't know, you know, again, it's important for one, it's not important for the other. But I really would like to sing this together before we end. And then I'll go ahead and close that.
Are there any extra songs?
I have one. I have this.
Here, maybe I can share this.
Who didn't get the song sheet?
You are still God. I have a reason to I will bring grace. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. This is my prayer in the harvest, in favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received, I will sow.
Okay, ladies, in closing, I'm going to go ahead and just, as in the book, the main character's name was Much Afraid. And at the end, I know you guys probably heard this, her name, Much Afraid, was changed to Grace and Glory. So I said, okay, Lord, after this little, all my little stones, I wanted to know what my name would have been. And it said, this is what came to my mind. It says, I too was much afraid, but now I am much amazed. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, Monday night, ladies. Let's see who's looking up. Sandy, would you like to call me some prayer, please?
Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we just want to thank you for what you have shown us this weekend, Lord. I thank you for the message that Lori brought, Lord. There is much for us to be amazed. There is so much in our lives, Lord, that we face, but you are a God who shows us you are greater than those obstacles that we face. So we thank you, we praise you for just caring for us, Lord, for choosing us, for loving us. And I just pray for each woman here now as we go on with our day and our evening, that you would just keep pouring into us, Lord, that we may become the women that you want us to be. Yes. Thank you for this day, and we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. And ladies, these are...